Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
Matthew chapter 6. Why don't we go down to verse 9. Jesus is speaking. And he says, pray then like this. Our Father, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts or our trespasses or our sins. As we forgive our debtors, those who have sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And we'll end it with our part. For thine is the kingdom. And the people who recited that out loud, you didn't grow up AG, you came from a mainline church. It's a little sad. I didn't grow up in the Assemblies of God. You know, I was a teenager, but before that, went to kind of a mainline Protestant church, and, you know, we recited the Apostles' Creed, and we, you know, did the Lord's Prayer, and in all of that, and certainly if it doesn't drop into our heart, it doesn't do much good. But the other part is, I discovered something when I came over to the Assemblies of God, even as a kid. Other kids my age, they didn't even know the Lord, they couldn't recite the Lord's Prayer. They didn't even know about the Apostles' Creed, which is basically a declaration of Scripture. And you know, it kind of surprised me a little bit. So, I'm looking at you, but there's more teenagers in this room. Okay, there will be a Sunday where I'm going to say, all the teenagers stand up in this place, and we want to hear you pray the Lord's Prayer. You will not have warning. This is it. It could be next week. Oh, come on, man. We're just starting school. We're going to have homework. And now you're going to add that to it. Yeah. You're going to stand up and you're going to pray it and you're going to recite it. Yeah, we want it to drop into your heart, but we want you to know how the Lord told us to pray. And if you're not able to do it and you can't do it, your job's on the line. No, those of you who don't know, that's our youth pastor and his wife. I'm just giving them a hard time. It's true. It's true. We need to know the Scripture, and I know that Bible quiz and all of that, but, you know, we need to know God's Word, all of us. I do. And it can't be just in our minds. It's got to drop into our hearts and affect who we are as a person and change the way we live. But I want us to just, I'm not going to really necessarily teach on the Lord's Prayer this morning, but there are some things I just want to make comment about. You know, here they are, and Jesus says, this is how you pray. And you've probably heard many teachings on the Lord's Prayer, really the disciples' prayer, because it was supposed to become theirs. And you know, it's a wonderful thing when Jesus says, this is how I want you to pray. He says, our Father in heaven. You know, and I'm not going to go through necessarily line by line and comment on everything, but our Father in heaven, immediately through faith in Jesus Christ, you know, it's not just that we, you know, are in God's kingdom. Right there in the first line, Jesus says, our Father, do you know that you have family? You have family. He's our Father. And you got brothers and sisters in this room. And it's interesting, when you talk with some people who have a salvation experience. They are a follower of Jesus Christ. And they feel closer to brothers and sisters in the faith than they do to their own biological brothers and sisters who are not in the faith. Right there, he just says, pray, our Father in heaven. Right away, as you believe, I want you to know that you have family. You have family. You may have grown up alone. You may have some issues, rightful issues, because of didn't know mom, didn't know dad, or lost them at a young age, or whatever your story is. But I want you to know this morning, in the middle of that loss and pain and maybe some questions that are unanswered, I want you to know that you have family. You believe upon the Lord, you have family, and our Father is in heaven. And you're among brothers and sisters this morning. You're among family. You know, your kingdom come, your will be done. We pray that around here, not just in the Lord's Prayer, but we pray that the Lord's will would be done, even this morning in this room. The thing is, about his kingdom coming, you know, we got to change the way that we think. I have to change the way that I think, because my natural thinking is not kingdom thinking. My natural thinking is fallen thinking. It comes out in us, even as followers of Christ, but as we're moving along in faith, hopefully the fallen thinking is crucified and dies, and we discipline ourselves to think like kingdom thinking, like God's kingdom here on earth. Did you know that when we read God's word and we begin to think like we're supposed to according to his word and his teaching, do you understand that we sometimes lose this? It's supposed to train us in righteousness and correct us and instruct us and encourage us, and it's supposed to do those things personally. But I want you to know that as we look at God's word and we study it and we apply it to our life, I want us to grasp this morning. Do you understand that there is heaven to gain? And that when we begin to think in kingdom thinking here on earth, that it is actually training for what eternity is like, for what heaven is like, right? Yeah, I want us to grasp that this morning, that this is training. This isn't just, oh, I got to make it through until I die or the rapture comes, and I just got to make it through, and then, oh, the kingdom of heaven is going to be so great. Listen, it is going to be great, but it will be greater in the sense that if we are trained and begin to think like kingdom thinking now, God's mind, God's will, God's purpose, that you know what? We're going to be trained to enjoy and to understand and quickly acclimate to heaven. This isn't just his word to get us through this life and then we're done. There is an understanding that his kingdom come, his will be done here on earth as it is in heaven, gives us the opportunity to be trained for eternity. It's like this is homework. This is lab. This is where we begin to change so that when we step into heaven and into eternity through faith in Christ alone, that you know what? There will be enough that's a surprise and a shock and all of that, and you know, some things that we're going to discover that, oh boy, I was wrong about that. Boy, did I misunderstand that. But there are things that we can understand now that continue to move us to be trained towards heaven. And as that happens, do you know that we begin to long more? We begin to long more, yearn more, that we get to pray with the Spirit that says, come, Lord Jesus. The Spirit and the Bride of Christ crying out. The Scripture comes true in our life. Anyhow, this fallen thinking, it goes a little bit like this. I'm not sure God will answer my prayers, so I had better have a backup plan. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise hands because I don't want you to have to lie. But we think like this. We think like this. We pray, we do our best to kind of, you know, motivate us in faith, and we pray, but there's this part that sometimes lives in us that says, this probably isn't going to happen, so I better come up with a backup plan. Kind of plan B. Do you remember Elijah in the Old Testament? Do you remember Mount Carmel? And God's people were torn between God and worshiping Baal, and the prophets of Baal, they were deceiving the people and going through their worship. And finally, Elijah says, here, let's, and I'm putting this in layman's terms, okay? Finally, he says, you know, why don't we just have the contest? Why don't the prophets of Baal and all the people and myself, why don't we gather together and we're going to have a little contest? And the God that answers by fire is the living God. He says to the prophets of Baal, you pick a cow of your choice, so to speak. You pick a bull. I'll pick one. And then you prepare it for sacrifice. And you call on your gods. And if they consume this bull that you prepared for sacrifice, then you know what? We'll worship Baal. But if not, and it becomes my turn, I will call upon God, big G. And if he consumes the sacrifice, then we will worship God. Fine print. And we will slaughter all of you, prophets of Baal, deceiving the people. They go ahead and do this at Mount Carmel, and you'll find this in 1 Kings chapter 18. And that was the plan. That was Elijah's plan. I mean, he juiced it up a little bit because, let's face it, is it any harder for God to answer by fire on a dry sacrifice or a wet sacrifice? I mean, a miracle is a miracle, right? I mean, make it as hard as you want. If he's going to answer, he's going to answer. And so the prophets of Baal go through their deal, and then, you know, Elijah pokes a little bit of fun at them. I don't want to speak on behalf of God on this. This is just my opinion. Because, you know, not here to make light of us as humans and when we're deceived, but he pokes a little bit of fun at them and kind of, you know, jeers them a little bit. And I found that very redemptive humor. That's just me. I don't know whether he got in trouble with it with God or not. That was their business. I'm just looking on the outside in and just thought, you know, oh, Elijah, I like you. Well, the gods of Baal didn't answer. And Elijah calls upon God after he has him soak the sacrifice three times with water. God answers by fire, burns it up. But listen, before that, this was Elijah's plan. This was it. There was no plan B. There wasn't, well, now when it's my turn to call upon God, what if he doesn't answer? There was no backup plan. We pray the Lord's Prayer. Let your kingdom come, your will be done, here on earth as it is in heaven. And if you don't quite answer, I'll just kind of work it out on my own. The backup plan. Do you remember Jonathan and his armor bearer? Do you remember them from the Old Testament? Jonathan and his armor bearer. I want to take a moment and I want to read part of this to you. You'll find it in 1 Samuel chapter 14. I'm not going to wait for you to turn there. You can if you want, but for the sake of time, I'm just going to start with verse 6. Now, this is just so you get a little bit of the setting. Israel, once again, is at war with the Philistines, okay? And That's not all that uncommon. And so verse 6 of chapter 14 of 1 Samuel says, Jonathan said to the young man who carried his armor bearer, come, let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised fellows. If you're not sure what that means, talk to Pastor Jake, after our youth pastor after service. He'll explain things to you. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for nothing can hinder the Lord from saving by many or by few. And his armor bearer said to him, and he didn't know the plan yet. The armor bearer just listening to Jonathan and says, hey, whatever you have in your heart to do, whatever you wish to do, I am with you. Which is a sermon all in itself. And his armor bearer said to him, do all that is in your heart, do as you wish. Behold, I am with you heart and soul. Then Jonathan said, behold. And he starts to give him the plan. He starts to give his armor bearer the plan. Here's the plan. Behold, we will cross over to the men and we will show ourselves to them. I don't know. I just kind of think a sneak attack's better. You know? But that's just fallen thinking here. He says, let's go over and let's let them see us. If they say to us, wait until we come to you, then we will stand still in our place and we will not go up to them. But if they say, come up here to us, then we will go up, for the Lord has given them into our hands. And this shall be the sign to us. That's the plan. That's it. This was the great military plan of Jonathan. Let's go over, and we're going to just show ourselves to them. We're going to go over, and we're just going to go, hey, yoo-hoo! You know, uncircumcised fellows, we are here. Oh, I forgot. I wore my Daffy Duck tie. Sorry. Those of you visiting, I don't always wear, I haven't worn this for years. I know you're getting all excited because duck season's coming. This guy's a duck hunter. He's got the bug so bad, he's had it for months. Anyhow. Ignore Daffy just for a moment. It's very warm in here. This was the plan. You know, yoo-hoo, uncircumcised fellows, we're here. That was it. There was no backup plan. They were there to stand on behalf of God's kingdom and God's honor and to trust God. And to move and to take steps of faith. Not steps of presumption. But there was no backup plan. And yet you and I in our life, we say these prayers that we desire and we think and we want to pray according to His will. And, you know, all of these things. And, you know, and yet in us does this thing live of our flesh, this fallen thinking that says, now if God doesn't answer, I'll take it from here. I've got a backup plan. The sad part is sometimes God is our backup plan. We move ahead. Oh, Lord, bless it, what I'm about to do, and it seems good to me. And let me tell you why, and let me try to convince you why this is good. Now, bless it. We move ahead, and it's a flop. It's disaster. It's just wrong. And then we go to the backup plan. Oh, God, deliver me. He's so gracious. Isn't he? And he says, okay, I'll deliver you, but I'm plan A. And there is no plan B. There is no other letter in the alphabet. It's just me. It is just me. You know, in Matthew 6, where we read the Lord's Prayer, a little further down, in verse 33, it says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness," or his right ways. And then all of these things, because previous to that, it talks about those who are pagan worshipers, that they chase and they run around chasing things that God is so willing to provide if we will just seek him first. And his right ways, his righteousness. It fits with the Lord's Prayer in the part where it says, "Give us this day our daily bread." It's interesting that we want God to provide for us, and yet we don't want to obey him. I want you to know, and I just want this to be part of this understanding this morning, that we pray the Lord's Prayer for provision, and yet we don't seek him first and do things the right way, his righteousness. It's interesting that when we in our Christian life, we find certain things easier to do, that we do those things in excess a little more, as if that is points with God over where we're weak, so that it kind of balances out so that he can answer our prayers. His provision in our life has a lot to do with obeying him. You know, he's gracious and merciful, and he's forgiving, and he rescues us from predicaments that we put ourselves in, or that circumstances in this life just kind of came against us, and, you know, we just walk through it, and we're just in a kind of a, you know, a bit of a pickle or whatever you want to call it, but, and he's merciful to us. There's no question, but we pray things like, "Give us this day our daily bread, provide for us," and yet do we seek him first and his right ways, apply them to our life, so that he can add all of these things to us? We just want all the things added to us without doing the other. So what does that do for our prayers? It's like, I'll pray this in the Lord's Prayer, "Kingdom come, your will be done, provide for me," but am I really seeking first your kingdom and your right ways? Because if you don't answer, then I'll just chase all this stuff on my own. Or seeking you first means I might talk to you first in the morning, but through my daily life, I am not doing your way with everything. Because I think sometimes you're a little out of touch, you don't quite understand, and you seem to delay in your answers, so I'm just going to do what I think best and do it my way quick. And it's not God's way or the right way. And then we wonder why he's not provided for us like we think he should. If you were convinced, you were persuaded, you knew that God heard your prayers and he would answer in a very specific way, if you knew that, not just kind of hoped and believed, but you knew that, would you be praying any different than you do now? I mean, we got to get down to search our own heart in this. Would we pray any different if we knew God heard us and he would act and answer in a very specific way? If he would do that, would your prayers be any different? Would you talk to him different? Would your requests kind of be different? Would your approach to him be different? Because if you could believe that God hears you and he's going to act, a willful act on your behalf, according to your prayers, If you knew that, maybe that's the way that you and I should start praying. God's not into the being the backup plan. Your Father is in heaven, who loved you and I so much that he sent his only begotten Son to seek us out, to save us, to give us kingdom principles that we can live in this life and train us and stir in us a longing for eternity to be with him. And understand when we enter that kingdom that we will have some understanding of how his kingdom already operates because we believed upon him and we lived according to his kingdom and sought it first. Even when it's contrary to our natural thinking, but his principles are clear. And that in that, somehow our prayers and our relationship with him begin to change. My daughters, do not approach me and ask me like they approach and ask a stranger. Because they know me. They can many times anticipate what my answer is because they've lived with me. They also know that they can count on me. They know that I hear them. They even know that I will sometimes do and give to them things that they don't deserve or that they don't need. And if we who are evil know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more is our Father who is perfect in heaven give to his children? Oh, that how that should change my prayers and my approach and my faith and the way that I talk, the way that I listen, and the way that I obey him. I have got to move towards kingdom thinking. Do you remember the widow in the Old Testament? She had just a little bit of oil. Do you remember? Just a little bit of oil. And the prophet shows up, and there's basically a famine through this part of the world right then. She only had a little bit of oil left, and she's basically, I'm saving that for my last meal, for, you know, me and my son. It's all we've got. And then, you know what? We're just going to die. The prophet shows up and says, would you make me something to eat? Would you make me something to eat? The prophet of God, the man of God, shows up and says, would you make me something to eat? And she's like, this is for our last meal. And then we're going to die. Nevertheless, I will do this. He says, before you do, go gather as many jars as you can get. Yeah, right. Do you know what brought the provision for her? We know God did. He did a miracle because he filled all the jars that she had with oil. Do you know what released it? She obeyed him. She obeyed. She obeyed. She obeyed. She obeyed. She obeyed. Give us this day. Let your kingdom come. Listen, in natural thinking and fallen thinking, it does not make sense to use your last little bit of oil as if it's going to fill all the rest of the pots. Here's the great news. God and his kingdom is not confined to natural resources. He is not confined. He can bring birds in on the wind. He can cause manna to fall. He could cause a flower to grow where no flower grows. That's God. That's who He is. And yet we pray, Lord, and by the way, I don't really expect you to answer, but it would be nice. Because I got a backup plan. Backup plan. I want you to be stirred today. I want to be stirred today to seek Him. Because if I do, He lets Himself be found. Seek me, you shall find me, He says. Seek, to hunger, to pursue, to look, to turn over the rocks and look everywhere. To pursue Him. And His right ways. That when I get a kingdom principle, I'm supposed to live it in this conflicting world. But it's part of what brings His kingdom here. When we obey and do things right, it is what helps establish His kingdom here. We get concerned about the way that the world is going, rightfully so, but we should be more concerned about not which way the church is going, but which way I personally am going. You personally are going, because you can invade this world through kingdom principles being lived out in our lives. It establishes His kingdom here, and God will honor it. He will spare a city. Remember? Lord, if I can find 50 righteous. Oh, Lord, but if I can find... What about... His kingdom. Who He is. He's the King of His kingdom. And His kingdom knows no bounds. When we pray, give us this day. When we pray, let Your kingdom come. When we pray, forgive me as I forgive. We just want forgiveness. We don't want to be called upon to forgive. I got too many offenses and I've got too many hurts and they are all legitimate and you know. And He says to you and I, so do I. But He forgave. We have offended Him. We have sinned against Him. And yet, He forgives. Kingdom principles. We pray the prayer, but are we willing to do the right way? And allow His provision, His protection, His blessing, His strength to walk with us through dark valleys. It's not just get me out of here. It's walk with me through it. You see, He's a shepherd. He walks with His sheep and leads them. Through dark times, through deep valleys, through treacherous places where there are predators, He's a good shepherd. How about if He becomes our only plan?
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.